All right, happy Father's Day. Amen. I want the young people to come down here. How many young people we got? Three? Two? Three? Y'all come down here for a minute. Y'all mind helping me? Y'all come help me. I'm going to ask all the dads if you'll stand up. You want to come help? Miss Hadley? Oh, you don't want to help? You want help? If you want to help, there you go. Okay? Can you take and give one of them? Can y'all give one of them to each of the men that's standing? I didn't mean to make you cry, Shug. Don't say much for the preacher. I always heard ever how the dogs and kids respond to you as your character. That didn't say much for me. Here, I got something for you. I am so sorry. Here you go. That's for you. That's for you. Thank you. You did a great job. I'm going to give you something too, okay? There you go. Thank you. Y'all can be seated. It's great to have kids and laughter in the church, and we're here to celebrate today. And the reason I'm handing out some of these papers, this is going to be the message. Today we plan to keep the kids in here with their families. If that doesn't work out, we still got something planned in the back. But I've got a lot of slides on the screen that I hope will be a good teaching device and also will help keep the kids and the adults' attention while we go through this. And it should be that these slides will be on the website with the message afterward. So if you want to share this later with your kids, but we'll get into that when we get to the message. Amen? Kids, will y'all be okay in here for a few minutes this morning? Okay, here we go. Psalm 66:2 says this, "Sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious." That's what we plan to do as we start our service today. We want to thank Terry and Don again for coming, and we're going to ask that you would welcome them as they come to start us off in song this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for that welcome. We're actually half of Redeemed Harmony, but we're the good elderly, more mature part of,
yeah,
of Redeemed
right.
Harmony.
That's right. That's right.
And so we'll hopefully our wisdom will exude.
But it is great to be with y'all today. It's always good to come to different churches and meeting other brothers and sisters. Some we've known, some we hadn't met. But I truly the way that we feel that we're not meeting a stranger, because we know that we're going to spend eternity with y'all guys in heaven for a very long time. So it is good to be here and good to meet y'all.
That's true. We were just praying beforehand that thankful that God's using us in the ministry. And our goal is to prepare you for the word that Brother Wesley is going to bring. We'll get you in a good mood, and you're receptive to the word of God. And if we can do that, we've done our job. So we'll start off with a fun song called Long Black Train.
Thank you. There's a long black train coming down the line, feeding off the souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. Look to the heavens, you can look to the sky. You can find redemption staring back into your eyes. There is protection and there's peace the same. Burning your ticket for that long black train. Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. There's an engineer on that long black train, making you wonder if the ride is worth the pain. He's just waiting on your heart to say, let me ride on that long black train. Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train.
Yes, there is victory in the Lord. Victory in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, I can hear the whistle from a mile away. It sounds so good. But I must stay away. That train is a beauty, making everybody stare. But its only destination is the middle of nowhere. Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. I said cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. Yeah, watch out, brother, for that long black train. That devil's a-driving that long black train.
All right. All right, the Lord has said He is going to prepare a place for us. We have a mansion in heaven. That means this is just our temporary home. We're only here for a little while. I mean, I like it. I like where I'm at, but one of these days we're going to go and be with the Father. So we're in our temporary home.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes I feel like I'm just walking around with my head up in the clouds.
Yeah, it does.
I'm steady moving, but I'm not gaining ground. Headed the wrong way in a crowd. Then I remember I'm not part of this world. I'm moving higher each day, yeah. Upward mobility sounds mighty good to me. I just can't wait to get away, yeah. Got to remember I I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. Got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary home. Bothered by the problems of life, don't you let them get you down now. Just look to Jesus, you will not be denied. He'll put you on to higher ground. But don't forget that you're a child of the King, that you're an heir to His throne. You may not notice when He's coming back again. He'll take us to a happy home, y'all. Got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. Got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary home. Got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. Got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary home. Temporary home.
Thank you. All right. All right, this next song we're going to do is Brother Don is going to lead us off. Thanks to Calvary.
Thank him back. Just think about the first day that you got saved. Remember when you went back. First time that you accepted Christ and you truly believed, and everything changed and everything's different. Let's live out life today that same way and remember that feeling that we had and renew that feeling as we walk with the Holy Spirit. Thanks to Calvary.
Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what has happened, I tried to tell them. Thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man that I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Then we went back to the old house where we used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. And I said, son, oh little boy of mine, you don't have to be afraid because you got a brand new daddy now.
Thanks to Calvary,
we don't live here anymore.
Thanks to Calvary,
I am not the dad that I used to be.
Thanks to Calvary,
everything's different than before. the tears ran down my face. I tried to tell him, thanks to Calvary,
we don't live here anymore.
Brother Don Brown. I enjoy singing with my brother. He's a good man. I really appreciate him. He seems like he finds a part in there somewhere where you can't. I'm not good at doing the harmony stuff, but he can find a place in there somewhere. And we're going to try it now with Beulah Land.
All right.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday I'll stand there, my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, and now I'm looking across the river where my faith shall end in sight. There's just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, yes, it's Beulah Land.
Thank you. All right, we'll pick up the pace just a little bit, and you think, what is there not to love about Jesus Christ? There's nothing. So this song is What's Not to Love.
What's not to love?
What's not to love?
A Savior took my place. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
My sins have been erased. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
About amazing grace, I'd like to know.
I'd like to know what's not to love.
What's not to love?
What's not to love?
A Savior took my place. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
My sins have been erased. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
About amazing grace, I'd like to know.
I'd like to know.
What's not to love?
What's not to love?
About a peace that keeps me through the night.
What's not to love?
About those nail-scarred hands that hold me tight.
What's not to love?
About that healing touch that gave me sight. And since I learned to trust Him, everything's gonna be all right. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
The Savior took my place. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
My sins have been erased. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
About amazing grace, I'd like to know.
I'd like to know.
What's not to love?
What's not to love?
He gives me mercy every morning like rain.
What's not to love?
I walk in favor I just can't explain.
What's not to love?
I've been forgiven, low broke every chain. And look who's been
Easy
adopted.
Boy.
And the King gave me His name. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
A Savior took my place. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
My sins have been erased. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
About amazing grace, I'd like to know.
I'd like to know.
What's not to love? What's not to love about Jesus? What's not to love about Jesus? What's not to love about Jesus? What's not to love?
Now can I get a witness? I just got to testify. Some people call me crazy, but I'm the apple of His eye. What's not to love?
What's not to love
about Jesus?
What's not to love?
Oh,
what's not to love
about Jesus? What's not to love?
Now can you hear the music? Can you feel the beat? The angels must be dancing, 'cause He's singing over me. What's not to love?
What's not to love
about Jesus?
What's not to love?
Oh,
what's not to love
about Jesus? What's not to love?
Now He's just wild about me. I always make Him smile. My picture's in His wallet, 'cause I'm His favorite child. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
A Savior took my place.
What's not to love?
What's not to love?
My sins have been erased. What's not to love?
What's not to love?
About amazing grace.
Somebody tell me.
I'd like to know.
What's not to love?
Sometimes it's hard to get through this life, you know, and you can't do it without God, without walking with Him. Sometimes God has to walk with you, and you can't do it without walking with the hand of God touching you. So the title of this song is I Can't Even Walk.
This will be our last song for then we'll have Brother Webster come up.
I thought that number one would
surely be me. I thought I would be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build a life-seeking stand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees I learned to stand, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I think I'll make Jesus my one and my all. From now on, when I'm in trouble, on His name I'll call. And if I don't trust Him, I'd be less than a man, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees I learned to stand, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Come on, Brother Wes.
Want us to remember, too, on the prayer list, should have put some of those on more on there a while ago. Melissa's out with her back, and also Miss Debbie's just overdone it last week, and she's kind of down, and we're praying for both of them to get their strength renewed. And also Miss Lisa, Misty's mother, she has lung cancer. And Miss Sharon Coe, she's finished her treatments and all her blood work looks good. And she's got a good report and supposed to be in remission. So we want to pray for her cancer to continue to be gone and not to come back. So keep them in your prayers today also. As we begin this service this morning and celebrate our Father's Day, you know, fathers, I can't think of nothing that you could teach your kids more than to let them see you be dependent on God. in all the things you do. Just like they have sung that you can't even walk without holding his hand. You know, I've often wondered, you know, I don't know, but when I grew up, and a lot of y'all is about my age, y'all remember this too. The last few years, they've tried to make men not be masculine. It's almost unlawful to be masculine anymore. But when I was growing up, if something went wrong, I'd tell them, you wait till I go get my daddy. Because I thought my daddy was the toughest man I knew. But, you know, for our kids to discover how tough we are, it'd be if they walked by and seen us on our knees praying to God for them. Today, as we start this service, I just want us to thank our fathers for who they are. Our dads, that we have someone in our life, a gentleman that has showed us Christ. I don't know what greater thank you a father can have than if their kids called him and said, thank you for showing me Jesus. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but in the story of the Bible, God chose fathers to give their children an understanding and an idea of who God is. You know, when we think about Father's Day, we need to remember that God chose you to show children Jesus just by being you. Just by being who you are, your relationship with Jesus and how you follow him, trust him and obey him, and teach that to your kids should be a blessing. Usually I don't run through these verses. I put them up on the screen. I just want you to know, though, because we're going through, when we talk about educating our kids, we're going through a time. A friend of mine yesterday and I was talking about this, talking about school and talking about everything that's going on around us with our kids. There's a difference between indoctrination and education. And if we don't educate our kids, it's easy for them to be indoctrinated. Now, if you are teaching them the doctrine of the Bible, they're learning truth. If you're indoctrinating them with the ideas of man or society or what's best for other people or what pushes movements and things like that, then it leaves our kids to be hurt. If you think about it, with education, Satan can't be prosperous. But with indoctrination, we give him room to work and use the ideas that our kids are bringing with them into the world. Now, God says this. First time I ever read this verse, it meant a lot to me because I just really hadn't ever seen it. And it begins with this word, for. It's in Genesis chapter 18. Now, here's what's happening here. God is fixing to destroy the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angels are fixing to go down there. And God asks this rhetorical question. God asks this question. God says, he says here in rhetorical question, he says, shall I keep what I'm about to do from Abraham? In other words, should I not tell him what I'm going to do? And then God says this, for, that means this is the reason I chose Abraham. Abraham didn't do nothing special. Abraham was over in Ur. His daddy was a pagan. His whole family was a pagan. God called him to come out and follow me. and I'll show you which way to go. God says, the reason I've chosen Abraham is so that he may command. That means to instruct, to teach, to give them guidance. His children and his household after him, that's his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, their wives, their kids, all his descendants. He's teaching them something. The way of the Lord, by doing righteousness and justice. When he talks about teaching them righteousness, he's talking about Abraham. He's chosen him. Abraham doesn't have any children. When his children comes, from them will come the nation of Israel. And he says he will teach them to have a right relationship with a covenant-keeping God. He'll teach them to have a right relationship and also to have a way of keeping and obeying what God says is good for them. They will be in righteousness and justice. Justice talks about being in accord or acting in accord with what God says is right conduct. If we respect God rightly, we will learn to have right conduct with one another. He says, look, I have chosen Abraham to teach his children who the one and only God is. And when he says this, he goes on to tell Moses in Deuteronomy 5:16 on the commandments. This is the fifth commandment. It says, honor your mother and father as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Then Paul, moving forward, tells us this. Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What is the promise? So that it will be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Parents, when we teach our kids about God, we're doing everything we can to lengthen their life and give them a better quality of life. Does that mean they'll obey us and follow our teachings? No, but they got a whole lot better chance if we teach them about who God is and what God wants them to do. Kids, obey your mom and daddy. Guess what? It will be well with you. I learned when I was very young, when I obeyed Buddy Thomas, it was a lot better off on me. I could sit down a lot easier. Amen? They didn't have time out when I was coming up and groundings. We got grounded, but it was with a switch. Amen? But honestly, my daddy taught me a lot of lessons, and I did a lot of things before I got saved. But a lot of the trouble that I stayed out of had to do with the things that my daddy taught me. And a lot of those lessons, you might even call them rules, like Gibbs has on NCIS. A lot of them rules my daddy taught me, I didn't know till after he died. And that night I picked up his Bible on his nightstand, and I can still see the red ink where he had underlined things in that Bible. And that was the lessons that he had taught me from Proverbs, from the Gospels, from other parts of Deuteronomy. He had underlined these lessons. And I had learned them. These gifts that we give our children is that God not only chose Abraham to show his children Jesus by living in belief of God, but he's also chose you to show your children Jesus just by being yourself. In other words, your relationship and what you do and how you worship God and obey God, it is how you will teach your children to be godly, to fear God, to love God, to honor God. Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer, and the reason I'm giving y'all this stuff so y'all can show it to your kids later, it's on the website, so y'all remember it, but we're going to get to some real easy stuff. Martin Luther said that John 3:16 is the heart of the Bible. It is the gospel in miniature. My mentor, Dr. Logan Carson, said, it's the gospel in the nutshell. He used to tell us that all the time. He says, always remember the gospel. Always be able to read the gospel. Look, I was going to save this to the end, but I'm going to tell you all this right now. I gave y'all these books, or the kids did this day. Mona and I got them here a while back. And the reason we gave them, it has been said that you can learn a new habit within 21 days. Say 21. Ladies, I got some up here you're welcome to pick up too after the service. There's 21 chapters in the book of John. You can read one chapter a day, and you can be learning how to show your kids Jesus. In this book also, it speaks about the living water. Jesus told the woman at the well, I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. He also, in the back here, it tells us what to do after we get saved. It's got some good questions you can answer for your kids. If you would read one chapter a day, you would get in a habit of reading your Bible. So the gospel in a nutshell is something that we should be willing to teach our children. In the Bible, John 3:16 and 17 not only give us a way of salvation, but also a worldview. See, the Bible is a story. If you think about it, the stories we have, the things we watch on TV, the things we learned as kids that we would say, once upon a time, y'all remember that? Once upon a time, what was going on? Everything was good. Then what happens? If you remember, just before they go to a commercial, there's some tension, right? Some tensions going on, and then you watch the show there. With commercials and all, you probably only have about 20 minutes of the story. And what happens? They try to solve the conflict, and then once they solve the conflict, do you remember the old westerns? How many of y'all like westerns? You remember how in the end the good guy rides off into the sunset, and the Long Ranger rides off, and they're like, "Who was that masked man?" Right? That's the story of the Bible. In the story of the Bible, we've got creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. What happened? Things don't look like they're perfect anymore. The fall. Then what happened? God worked to rescue us from our fallen condition. Once we're rescued by the blood of Jesus Christ, faith in Him, we ask for forgiveness. What happens? Restoration. What is restoration? God making us into what He saved us to be. So we live happily ever after. Y'all tracking with me? So a worldview is a understanding of the world. A worldview is how we view the world. It's like putting on glasses. It's how we see the world. It is our conception of the world. It is our life philosophy of how we're going to act. And John 3:16 helps us remember that the Bible is laid out in four major movements. God created everything. We messed it up. God sent His only begotten Son to rescue us. Once we're rescued, what do? We don't live the old way. We start living a new way, and we're on the way to Beulah Land. Has there been singing about it? You know, that's why Christians love to hear songs like Beulah Land, because we're looking forward to when God fixes everything right. So today, for Father's Day, I want you to remember that God has chose you for a purpose. I want you to remember John 3:16. A lot of us learned that as we were little, but we need to read John 17 with it too. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through Him." So now I'm going to give y'all a little easy way to remember this. I've got some sheets up here you can take home. I can't take credit for these drawings because they come from Two Ways to Live. It's a gospel tract that's been out for years. But I want you to think about this. The whole Bible, in a nutshell, is right here in John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved." Look, God is the loving ruler of the world. So if you was talking to your kids, you could draw a little crown. When you draw that crown, say, "Look, God is the ruler of the world." Why is He the ruler of the world? Because He made the world. Hey, if you built something and say a deck, you wouldn't want your neighbor coming over there tearing it up, partying on it, and having a good time. Because why? Whose deck is it? It's yours. God created the world. The world is God's. He created it to be used a certain way and for it to reflect His glory. He created us in His image. So God made the world, and He's the ruler of that world. Now, here's the good news. God made us rulers of the world under Him. God rules, we rule. You know why we get to vote? I know you don't have to teach all this to your kids. We get to vote because God is the ruler of the world. God made us rulers. When we vote, we're not voting in rulers. We're voting in people to help rule under us. People don't understand that anymore. We're not voting somebody in that God says, that's the man. Listen to everything he says. According to 1 Peter and to Romans chapter 13, we obey laws, and God gives us laws because people that are not believers in Him, they don't know how to act. He gives us civil laws so that we can keep evil in check. If we're saved, guess what? We don't have to worry about the law. If we're saved, we shouldn't be doing things that society would want to punish. We should be rewarded for doing good. And you say, well, preacher, that ain't what I see on the news. Me neither, and it upsets me. But that's because we're in a fallen world. Amen? So God created the world. That's why He loved. And God's design reveals His worthiness. He made us to rule under Him. Revelation 4:11 is one of my favorite verses. It says, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive all glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and they were created. In Genesis, we see something that happens for 6 days. God said. When God spoke, something happened. He created. That was in the will of God, in the mind of God. It was in the intention of God. And then after He created, He says, it is good. And when He created man, He said, it is very good. But now, today, when we look at the news and we look at the things that's going on around us and in our communities and in our schools, we realize that that's not the way it is now. Something has happened. And what has happened is that we all reject the ruler God. So it says here that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When it speaks of God so loving the world here is talking about a system that became an organized system estranged from God. It is a system that works against God, a system that desires to work its own way. How does that look for us? It's when we reject the ruler God, we try to run life our own way without Him, but we fail to rule ourselves or society or the world. Have you ever done that? I got some friends, I told them, prosperity kills you. They asked me to pray for them. I said, I'm going to pray the Lord don't let y'all get no more money. I'm going to pray that He don't let y'all get a good job again. Every time y'all get to going good, y'all go back to your old ways and you wreck your life. Y'all better off when you having to depend on God and He's giving you just enough to keep you going. You ever met people like that? See, when we reject God and try to run life our own way, we lose control of everything. Have you ever wanted something really bad, and you knew you wanted it, and you done everything you could to get it, and then when you got it, you're like, I should have asked God. When I was in high school, I had a nice car. Nothing was wrong with it. But I seen this Z28. It had been built down here in Sanford, actually, and a boy in Pittsburgh bought it. I had to have it. I bought that bad boy. It come with a big hood scoop and a big pavement book. You couldn't even hardly see the road going down the road. You know what? It didn't take but about 2 payments. I'm like, I have sure made a mess. I sure should. My daddy told me I didn't need no hot rod car, right? But I wouldn't listen. I wanted something so bad that I wouldn't listen. When we get to be adults and we are looking at what we're doing or what we want to do or we making plans, we need to ask this. Lord, do you want me to do this? Lord, how is this going to bring you glory? Lord, how is this going to help me become who you want me to be? Sometimes if we'll just pause and talk to the Lord, we will see that he is still the ruler of our life. As we think about this, when we reject the ruler, when we try to run life our own way and we fail to rule ourselves, Paul says when we reject him, that's not something that is uncommon, that everybody does that. He says that there's none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they become useless. There's none who does good. There's not even one. Paul, when he's speaking about this, it sounds tough. And he says that nobody is seeking God. God wants us to honor him, to rule us, but we're not seeking him. So what will God do about this rebellion? Romans 3:23 backs up what John 3:16 just says in one verse. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Paul is summing up what he has been saying in Romans 3. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ." Here's what God does when we rebel against him, when we get old enough to understand what sin is, and we're rebelling against God. God is not going to let us rebel forever. God won't let us rebel forever. His punishment for rebellion is death and judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men once to die, after this comes the judgment." You know, we all are going to face death one day, and we're going to leave this earth. If we don't know Jesus Christ on this side of the grave, we'll spend eternity separated from him. But that's bad. You don't want nobody to go to hell, but can you imagine if you're spiritually dead on this earth while we're living here? That means that we've sinned against God. We've not been reconciled back to him. His spirit's not living in us. That means that we are walking around, I'm physically going, I'm moving, but before I was saved in 1994, I was spiritually dead. I was unhappy. I didn't know why. You might think it's because somebody's got more than you. You might think if you had a better job. You might think if you shopped more, drank more, played more. You name it. Martin Luther also said that in our heart, we've got a hole shaped in a certain fashion that only Jesus Christ could fill that hole. You can put anything else in it. Your kids could want a new Game Boy. They could want a new motorcycle. They could want something the other kids has got. Till they understand who Christ is, they'll always want, and never be satisfied. And a lot of times nowadays, kids have learned that from parents. If you remember when our parents was coming along, they had to work forever just to get a sofa. By the time I come along, they had invented something called a credit card. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or am I getting too close to the corn here? You know what a credit card is? Something you use to buy something you don't need so you can impress somebody you don't even like. If you think about it, our parents worked all their life to get stuff. And when we got married, time my generation come along, we graduated high school. We had credit cards and things, and we could go get a whole house full of furniture, not realizing we got to pay on it for the next 30 years. Because why? We wanted it. Sometimes we have to wait. And when we teach our kids that God has got a plan for us, and we focus on him first, it helps us not want all the things that the world says will bring us satisfaction. Now, it sounds terrible. I witnessed to a man in prison one time, and he says, "Well, I just can't trust in a God that would send somebody to hell." That sounds harsh. But see, that's not the end of the story. This would be bad right now. It's about 8 after 11. If I just shut the Bible, y'all wouldn't be too happy, would you? Here comes the good news for Father's Day. God's judgment may sound harsh, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says it this way. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated. That word there so means thusly. A lot of times I've heard it preached, and you say, God loved us this much. But that word literally means God loved us, so he demonstrated it this way. He gave. That's the idea of a sacrifice. We deserved death and punishment, yet God gave a sacrifice in our place. That goes all the way back to Abraham. That's what Abraham and Isaac, they get the wood. Abraham and Isaac, can you imagine fathers walking with your son up the mountain and you're going along and Isaac looks up at Abraham and he says, Daddy, we got the wood, we got the fire, where's the sacrifice? What did Abraham say? My God will provide it. He was walking beside his only begotten son, the only son he had ever had, the only son. And he was walking beside him and he was taking him to sacrifice him to God for the sins of the world. And because he obeyed and believed in God, what did he tell his servants? He told them, we're going to make sacrifice. We will come back. Abraham was going up the mountain and didn't know how he was going to give up Isaac. And God was going to bring him and Isaac back down the mountain. But he was faithful that God had a plan and he would follow it. Isaac is laid on the altar. Abraham is over him with the knife fixing to stab him. And the death angel says, stop, because you have believed in God. The Bible later says that it is accredited as righteousness to Abraham because he believed God. And Abraham looked and there was a ram hung in the thicket, a substitute for the son that he was going to give because he believed God. Him and his son. He says, look, I don't know how this is going to work out in the end, but God's got a plan to sacrifice for the sins of the world so that we can all go to heaven. Passed down through history, there come a man, the only begotten of God. You know why he's only begotten? It's the only son like him. It's the only son God adopts us in, but we were sinners. Christ was never a sinner. Christ never sinned. He's the only begotten. He's the only unique. There's no other son that could sacrifice for us because he's the only one that ever walked on this earth without sin. That is what we need to teach our children. That is what we need to tell them over and over. God gave a sacrifice. It was his son. He demonstrated it was his only begotten son. Because of his love, God sent his son into the world, the man, Jesus Christ. Jesus always lived under God's rule, yet by dying in our place, he took our punishment and brought us forgiveness. Look, Christ came into the world fully man. Christ left the world a sacrifice, innocent, in our place. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. But that's not all. Here's the good news. Never leave this out when you're talking to your kids. God raised Jesus to life again as what? Ruler of the world. So y'all track with me. In the beginning, God. He was the loving ruler of the world. What happened? He loved the world. He made us in his image. We messed up stuff. He sent Jesus to rescue us. As Jesus died for our sins. Romans 4:25 says that he was buried for our transgressions. He was raised for our justification. When we believe in Jesus, we step out from trying to rule ourselves, and we got a new ruler. His name is Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says that the love of Christ controls us, that having died once for all, so that we could no longer live for ourselves, but live for him who loved us and gave himself up for us. And go down to verse 21, it says, behold, the old things have passed away, all things has become new. We don't want to teach our kids to be afraid of God. We want to teach them that God loves them. Here's the difference between biblical love and worldly love. The world is telling our kids and our grandkids, God loves you just like you are. Find yourself. Be yourself. Discover who you are. God loves you. That's not true. God loves you to become who he created you to be. We serve a God that loves us so much that when we mess up, he gives us a second chance. We need to teach our kids that God's love is about a second chance. We need a second chance because we didn't live God's way the first time. When we ask Jesus to forgive us, we're not only forgiven, we're given a new mind and a new heart when the Holy Spirit dwells in us. That's what chapter 3 is about here when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. We need to teach them that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, anybody, say whoever, that means anybody. There's nothing you can do that's out of the reach of God's grace and his love. If you ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you and give you a second chance. And then guess what? You will not perish. Isn't that that's the greatest promise. You will not perish, but you'll have eternal life. So the question is, what does this leave us today? My question is, does Jesus rule your life? Does Jesus rule your kids' life? Have you talked to your kids about following God as the leader, the ruler, the king of your life? Do your kids realize that God has got control of your life? Look, there's only two ways to live. You can live God's way or you can live your way. And if you live God's way, you can understand John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Think about it. We was already guilty. It says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe in him has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds was evil. So we want to teach our kids that it's okay to admit to God that they have done wrong. It's okay to tell us that they've done wrong. But you don't want to live in your wrongness. That's called living in sin. You want to ask God for forgiveness, ask him to create in you a new life, and then take control of that life. You need to have your world view by what God tells you is right and wrong. There's only two ways to live, your way or God's way. Now, let's think about this. Tell your kids, if you live life your way, you'll reject the rule of God. And when you do, you're going to experience chaos and conflict. And you're going to be condemned by God and eventually facing judgment and death. But if you live God's new way, if you submit to Jesus as your Savior and ruler, rely on Jesus' death and resurrection, you'll be forgiven by God. And here's the greatest promise. You'll have eternal life. That means you're in a right relationship with God right now. That means that John 3:36 says, but he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. There's only two ways to live, your way or God's way. If you think about it, we are born. And when we're born, God has created us in his image. But we're born with what the Bible calls a nature of sin in us. We've inherited this from Adam and Eve. And somewhere along the way, as soon as we get the first chance, we want to run life our own way. When we do that, we unfriend God. Facebook, social media. How many times have you got friends on there, and most of them are acquaintances, when they get to telling you stuff you don't hear, what do? Unfriend them. That's what the world did with God. God says you created to live this way. The world's going along. You say, well, I like it better the way that other people's doing it. So you unfriend God. You quit listening to him. You quit talking to him. You quit reading about him. But then God sent Jesus Christ to die in our place. So what? He could make us friends of God. That's called reconciliation. You say, well, that's pretty deep for my kids. Well, depending on the age of your kids, it's this simple. Just start with this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know, when I was a kid, I can never remember eating breakfast when Miss Jenny was babysitting us, when before we got to eat breakfast, we had to say that Bible verse. And my grandma, Thomas, the same way. You need to know this Bible verse. You need to know this Bible verse. This is the gospel in the nutshell. What we need to do is remember to tell our kids we're living in a messed up, chaotic, tangled up world, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that we all could have a second chance. I asked you today, as you bow your heads, have you ever asked God to forgive you? Have you ever believed that Jesus died for you? Jesus wants to forgive you and he wants to take control of your life. If you haven't, just say this, Lord Jesus, I believe you died in my place. I believe you was buried and resurrected so I know I can be saved and forgiven. Lord, please forgive me. Give me a new life. And Lord, help me live the rest of it pleasing to you. If you've prayed that, never been baptized, one of the greatest things your kids could see is you submitting to the Lord and being baptized, letting people know and letting your kids know that you've been saved. You feel free to talk to me about that at any time. If you're here this morning, you've been a Christian a long time, we often memorize verses like John 3:16, and then we don't read them because we already know them. John 3:16 is a verse that we should read at least once a month. I'm going to ask that right now, in your mind, you just say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that when I believed, I knew I wouldn't perish, but I would have everlasting life. Kind Father, we thank you. We thank you that you give us fathers to point us to Jesus, to show us Jesus. And Lord, your word tells us that even if we don't have kids and grandkids, that we're supposed to be fathers and mothers to the fatherless and to the motherless. Help us, Lord, live and speak in such a way that others will see Jesus in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I told you I was going to speak to this. If you would read this one chapter, chapter 1 of John, chapter 2 of John, through this, you can read it in your Bible too. If you'd read that for the next 21 days, it'll get you in a habit of reading your Bible. Part of eternal life is once we're saved, we get to talk to God and hear from God. It means we get to pray. We need to get in the habit of reading our Bible. Also, we need to, and this is in this book in the back, also, we need to find a church. I thank y'all for being here. We need to be gathered together with other believers. And we need to have Christian friends so when something's going wrong, we can call and talk to them. We don't call them to start the gossip line. We call them because we trust them and we trust that we can talk things out with them. The world will give us a lot of crazy answers. If you're looking for truth in Facebook and Google and DuckDuckGo and all these places you can look it up online, guess what? You don't know where that truth's coming from. But if you look it up in God's Word and you've got a friend that's a good Christian and they're in God's Word, most of the time, if something's going on in my life and I call somebody else about it, they've already been through it. And they'll say, hey, turn to such and such. Let me show you what God says about that. That's what we should do. We're going to close with Terry and Don coming back.
How many of you in here have a red letter edition of the Bible? Anybody got one? Those are the words that Jesus spoke. And especially when he said, verily, verily, you really need to pay attention to what he said. This next song is about that, highlights the fact that Jesus' word is truth. And it's called Believe. Old man Wrigley lived in that white house down the street where I grew up. Mama used to send me over with things. We struck a friendship up. It's been a few long summers. Out on his old porch swing. Said he was in the war, went in the Navy. Lost his wife, lost his baby. Broke down and asked him one time, how you keep from going crazy? He said, I'll see my wife and my son in just a little while. I asked him what he meant. Looked at me and smiled. Said, I raise my hands, I bow my head. Finding more and more truth, the words written in red. They tell me that there's more to life than just what I can see. Oh, I believe. A few years later, I was off to college. Talking to Mom on the phone one night, getting all caught up on the gossip, the ins and outs of the small town life. She said, oh, by the way, old man Wrigley's died. Later on that night, lay there thinking back. I thought about a couple of long lost summers. I didn't know whether to cry or to laugh. If there was ever anybody served a ticket to the other side, well, it would be that sweet old man who looked me in the eyes and I raised my hand. Bow my head. I'm finding more and more truth. Words written in red. They tell me that there's more to life than just what I can see. I can't quote the book, the chapter, or the verse. Can't tell me it all ends in a slow ride in a hearse. You know I'm more and more convinced the longer that I live. Oh, this can't be. Oh, this can't be. Oh, this can't be all there is. Lord, I raise my hands, bow my head. Lord, I'm finding more and more truth. The words written in red. They tell me that there's more to life than just what I can see.
Just what I can see.
I believe. Oh, I believe. I believe,
I believe,
I believe,
I believe,
I believe,
I believe,
whoa, I believe.
Don, that's become one of our favorite songs, and Terry's been singing that, and I just want you to think about this as we leave. I know it's been, I know it's getting late here. But when somebody asks you what the Bible's about, it's just simple. John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. Just say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It says, for God, that's the greatest lover, so loved, that's to the greatest degree, the world, that's the greatest company of people, that he gave, that's the greatest gift, his only begotten Son, that's the greatest person, that whoever believes in him, that is the greatest simplicity, shall not perish. That's the greatest difference in our lives, but will have eternal life. That's the greatest promise. All this is in my Bible right here and in yours. And if you've just learned that verse and build on it the rest of your life, you'll be like old man Ridley. You'll say, I raise my hand, I bow my head. I've found more and more truth in the words written in red. Let us pray. Kind Father, we thank you for this blessed day, and we thank you that you chose not to hide what you was doing from us, that you gave us your word. You spoke the truth, and then the truth took on flesh, and the word, Jesus Christ, dwelt among us. We know that you are a holy and mighty God. We know that you loved us enough to die in our place so that we could spend eternity with you. Lord, we thank you for loving us, for forgiving us, for giving us a second chance. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.